Hello everyone and welcome to the Banter Roundtable podcast. This is your host, Ben Cohen.
And I'm Justin Rosario.
The Banter Roundtable podcast is brought to you by the Banter Newsletter. We rely on our generous subscribers to keep going, so please support us by signing up for a Banter membership today. You can get a 50% discount when you join the community, and you'll get access to all our premium articles and locked archive. We will also be supporting independent, responsible media at a crucial time when our democracy is in peril. Your support is greatly appreciated.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 108 of the Banter Roundtable podcast. I'm here with Justin Rosario. Justin, how are you today, sir?
I am peachy. How's it going?
Not too bad. We have a great show for you today. We have Trump and the 14th Amendment, Super Tuesday, which turned out to be super great for Biden and super not so great for Trump. Trump's breakdown is accelerating. Is he healthy enough to keep running? We have our idiots of the week. We have our sunshine story of the week from sunny Arizona. And then we head into the emergency meeting podcast, where we talk Trump's threat to pull funding for schools with vaccine mandates. Because this is exactly what we need after COVID, another pandemic. So join us in the emergency meeting afterwards. It's a shorter podcast for our members, more sweary, more controversial. Get access to that. You can get 50% off a Banter membership. That gives you access to the emergency meeting podcast. It also gets you access to all of our members-only articles and all of our chat threads and locked archive. So thank you for all your lovely members. We really appreciate you. And if you haven't got yourself a membership, please get one, 50% off, and you get a free car. No, you don't get a free car, but please join us. Anyway, so look, Trump and the this was very early this week. Trump and the 14th Amendment. This was not good. This was, I feel, yet more indication that the Supreme Court is kind of redundant at this moment. It's a kind of a, it's not really a functioning court. They basically argued that states do not have the right to take presidential candidates off the ballot, right?
Which actually the Republicans on the court argued that they can't take any federal candidates off the ballot, which the liberal justices were like, yeah, we're not going that far, but that's what they tried to argue.
Yeah, it's but the ruling was confusing. I found it to be very, very confusing. Because essentially they all agreed it was unanimous, right?
Right.
But there was a disagreement in how far that ruling could go. But the idea that the federal government, that the only Congress can enact the 14th Amendment in those cases, I think seems ridiculous. Then what's the point in having a constitution, right?
It's bonkers because it's the exact opposite of what the amendment says.
Right.
The amendment specifically says Congress can override the 14th Amendment and allow an insurrectionist to hold office. Not right. Congress has to say an insurrectionist can't hold office. It doesn't say that at all. Mm. And they just said, yeah, no, we're just going to do it the exact opposite of what the Constitution says because we don't want it to say that. So they just overrode the Constitution because they felt like it, because it helped Trump.
Yeah, I mean, but what were the liberal justices doing? Why did they vote for this? This is what I don't really understand.
Honestly, I think they did it because they don't want Republican states doing that, because they'll immediately start doing that. It's like, oh, well, we're just going to take Biden off the ballot everywhere as we can, because they know Republicans will abuse that. They'll just say, oh, well, he's a traitor, so we're taking him off. Oh, he's an insurrectionist, we're taking him off. And they won't have anything to base it on. And then there'll just be this huge constitutional crisis. But that's not a good reason. You can't rule based on how the bad behavior of Republicans, because then you'll never do anything. All right? And that's, I mean, because, I mean, literally, that's what Amy Coney Barrett said, right? She said, one of the reasons she did it is because she wanted to turn down the national temperature. And it's like, okay, so what you're saying is keeping Trump off the ballot would enrage the right wing. And that, Jesus, that sounds like my voice just cracked. Yes, I'm hitting puberty. But it sounds like she's saying, you know, it's like, we don't want to upset the right wing. And it's like, but you can't rule. You can't make judgments based on what's going to make the Republicans upset, because then that just encourages them to go out and be full-on terrorists, which is what they're doing already, right? They terrorize as many judges and elected officials as possible in the, you know, with the specific intent of getting them to not do things in hopes of, you know, not upsetting the people who are terrorizing them. And that's fascism.
Mm.
So she just said, yeah, no, it's working. Keep doing that.
Yeah, it just seemed to be the ruling was, but here's what they wrote. The liberal justices criticized the argument that congressional enforcement was the only way to enact the 14th Amendment, but concurred that this was, I wrote this on Monday, that an evolving electoral map could dramatically change the behavior of voters, parties, and states across the country in different ways and at different times. The disruption would be all the more acute and could nullify the votes of millions and change the election result if Section 3 enforcement were attempted after the nation has voted. So that's not that doesn't seem to be a legal argument to me. I mean, listen, you know, all my years in law school, right? But that appears to be like, yeah, like you were saying, we don't want to piss off Republicans. We don't want to cause chaos, which is not the role of the Supreme Court, right? This is not what they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be making arguments like this. I just thought the whole thing was bizarre because given the 14th Amendment says specifically it bars federal, state and military officials who have engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway, not a great day. It's not that was not a great day for America. Really,
no,
really,
and,
pretty,
and
pretty
we should
terrible.
All keep in mind that they moved really, really fast to get this done because it helps Trump. And yet they're going to drag their feet until sometime in May for the other one that was going to help Trump.
Argument. Yeah, the loony argument that he's immune from prosecution because he has total immunity.
Yeah, that one they can't move fast with. They're taking their time.
Which is bonkers, right? Why would the Supreme Court even entertain that? We talked about this before, but there's no reason for the Supreme Court to hear those arguments because it's not a legal argument. It's an insane, basically desperate.
Yep. All they had to say was the lower court's judgment stands, and that's the answer. And that's it. They ruled on it. They don't need to do anything else. But nope. We need an official answer. So here we go.
Yep. Yep. So not great. Not great at all. We will continue to monitor. But look, Super Tuesday. It was great for Biden. Trump won. Nikki Haley dropped out.
Aw. So did Dean Phillips. Who?
Who?
I swear to God, Claudia actually asked me that. When she asked who was on the ballot, on because we're in Virginia, she asked who's on the ballot. I was like, well, Joe Biden, and I forgot Marianne Williamson was on there, but I was like, Joe Biden and Dean Phillips. She's like, who's Dean Phillips? I was like,
I wrote about that in the fucking Monday column. About what's happening to all these third party candidates. You see what's happening to the no labels people. They're running out. The donors are getting antsy about it. They're pulling their money out.
Yeah, they're right. Doomed.
Yeah. This is what. It was great. I thought one of the donors thought that Joe Manchin was going to generated excitement for the election.
Uh huh.
Joe Manchin would have generated excitement.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. When I think Joe Manchin, I think excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, goodbye, Dean Phillips, whoever you are. Goodbye, Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley put up, you know, she put up a fight. I'll give her that.
She won state. She won Vermont.
Yeah. That's in a MAGA country, in when most of the Republican Party is MAGA, that's actually quite big news.
Yeah, there's a significant, as much, and we'll discuss this in a second, as much as the press is jumping up and down about the Biden protest vote, Nikki Haley is the protest vote, and that protest vote is very, very large, and they really do not want to talk about that or present it that way, because, you know, once you present it that way, you have to talk about the fact that at least one quarter to one third of Republican voters keep saying, no, we don't want Trump. We want anyone else except Trump.
Yeah.
And they don't want to talk about that.
So look, I'm going to read an excerpt from Bob's piece this week, which was excellent. And it talked about why he's hopeful of a Biden win, given what we're looking at right now. Bob writes, Trump continues to underperform the polls by staggering margins. For example, on Super Tuesday, Trump was forecasted to win the state of Vermont by 30 points. Instead, Nikki Haley defeated him by 4 points. In primaries from California to Minnesota to Virginia, Trump's results were considerably lower than the polls forecasted. Given all that, my cautious optimism is fueled mainly by Trump's underperformance as well as exit polling that indicates a significant percentage of Nikki Haley voters say they will not vote for Trump in November. And then Bob goes on to write, says, look, let's look at one state that some of us has written off as likely Trump victory in November, North Carolina. Rewinding back to 2020, the criminal con man tyrant won the state by a relatively narrow margin of 74,483 votes. The safe bet is he'll probably win the state again, and I won't be shocked if that happens. However, a CBS News exit poll Tuesday night indicated that 78% of Nikki Haley voters refused to vote for Trump in the general. So anyway, Bob goes on to argue that basically North Carolina is probably in play, given what's happening in the state right now. That could move to Biden. Nikki Haley's voters, I mean,
catastrophic. That would be absolutely catastrophic for Trump. His path to net victory is already pretty goddamn narrow.
Yes, it's incredibly narrow. It's incredibly narrow. And people don't, this is again, not really talked about, where everyone's saying that, you know, Biden's going to win, Trump is a shoo-in, you know. No, not if you look at the electoral map and look at the number of states that, Trump's keys to victory are, he has to outperform in every state that he lost last time around. The swing states, he has to win all of them again.
And he's not outperforming them at all.
He's not going to do that. But anyway, look, I don't want to get caught with my pants down making stupid predictions, but I will say that we have been doing this a long time, right? We've been doing this for many, many years, and looking at these elections and looking at the polling. But the polling doesn't tell you much this far out. It really doesn't. And even the popularity stuff is not important. It's about the presidential elections are won in the Electoral College.
Right.
Like, that's it, right? It's about swing voters. It's about independents and swing voters. And where are they shifting? And they are not shifting towards Trump. Period.
The thing that we need to look at is, how big is the protest vote against Trump versus the protest vote against Biden? And the Trump protest vote seems to be much, much larger. And the Biden protest vote does not. I mean, there's a bit of a protest vote there, but enough to last for another 7+ months. It does not seem like that's going to have a whole lot of staying power, you know, and it's all based on one issue, a war that we're not directly involved in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I just don't see enough people throwing away American democracy in favor of fascism for a war that we're not involved in, that we are not a part of. You know, I know they really want to make it seem like that's what's going to happen, but that doesn't really sound like a thing that's going to happen.
Right.
So I don't know. They're trying really hard because the press has been hyping up the ceasefire protests while downplaying the Trump protests. And I'm just not buying it.
Oh, speaking of the ceasefire thing, we did have some news about, but what was it that we talked about this in the pre-podcast meeting?
The Guardian just popped up an article like not very long ago. So let's see. U.S. forces will build a temporary port on the Gaza shoreline the next few weeks to allow delivery of humanitarian aid on a large scale. Joe Biden will announce in the State of Union speech amid warnings of widespread famine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We are not waiting for the Israelis. This is a moment for American leadership because they're getting pissed off because the Israelis keep getting in the way of them delivering larger amounts of supplies on the ground, right? Because the Israelis control all the roads into Gaza Strip, and airdrops, you can only airdrop so much, right?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter how big the plane is. You'd have to fly an awful lot of planes, and that's logistically complicated. But boats, you can bring a whole lot of supplies all at once and as much as you want. So, and Israel isn't going to be able to do a thing about it. They can't stop that in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And neither is anyone else, because it's the United States Navy. If they want to bring supplies in, they're going to bring supplies in.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Genocide Joe, right?
Genocide Joe. Now, here's the fun thing that's going to happen. The ceasefire crowd is going to, because they were bitching that the airdrops weren't enough. So they're going to do this, and they can bring in as much as they want, right? They can literally bring in enough food and water for 2.3 million people. They can do that, right? We have the logistics to do that. And they're going to find something else to complain about. I guarantee it. They'll say, oh, they're preparing for an invasion. They're going to change, because they always move the goalposts, because there's nothing about these protests that are in good faith. Nothing about them are in good faith. It's always just, how can we keep the pressure on to hurt Biden? They can have a ceasefire next week, get all the supplies they need there, get the hostage release, rebuild everything, and they would still find some other thing of, don't vote to Joe Biden, because that's the point here. That's what they're doing.
Right.
Watch for it. Guaranteed.
Yep. Okay, so look, moving on, we are we have an idiot. Oh no, Trump's breakdown, right?
Yeah,
Trump is it's pretty bad, actually. It's pretty bad. Trump, let's have a look at this. He was he's been slurring his words. He keeps forgetting what he was saying. He's confused Biden and Obama. I think we was it 32 different instances of Trump having issues in just a couple of speeches in one weekend. Yes. But apparently Biden is the old man who's got Alzheimer's.
Yeah, he was just a complete mess. He just slurred Venezuela. He started talking, he just kind of lost where he was and just started talking about something else. And this is stuff that we've seen before, but this was an awful lot in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I'm gonna play a small clip here so you guys can listen to this. This is Trump slurring it, mangling his words. It's pretty bad. Okay, so here's the audio.
That is no longer admired, respected, or listened to. Anytime I start talking, they take the red light off. Look, he can't campaign. He can't campaign. He can't speak. So we call it migrant crime. I came up with that name because I come up with a lot of good names. You see, Maduro, Venezuela, it's unbelievable. He's going to the border, doing a show. Sean Hannity, good man, Sean Hannity. We will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers. Production in the United States. Country, even Argentina, they went MAGA. You know Argentina, great guy. He's a big Trump guy. He loves Trump. I love him because he loves Trump. When he called, I took his call. Anybody that loves me, I like them. Biden border bill. Well, you know this, right? The Biden border bill. I'm thrilled to be back in the beautiful Virginia. We went to the last two total.
Wow, he sounds fucking terrible.
He's a wreck. He's an absolute wreck.
So the Argentina one, like, he just starts calling the guy Argentina, the president of Argentina. Argentina is a great guy, apparently. What?
He's all over the place. And it's like the crowd is kind of like, okay, sure.
That's pretty bad, yeah. Well, I'm hoping the press is all over this.
But they won't be. And that's the problem, right?
No, There have been a few stories, actually. I have seen some stories in the press about Trump. I think the Times ran a piece about it. But Mary Trump's been writing about this quite a lot.
Right, but this cannot be repeated enough. Right, this is going back to the HER report. Right, which was what not even a month ago, this guy who has no qualifications whatsoever said in his report that Biden was a forgetful old man. And the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal wrote over 80 articles about that, about how Joe Biden was old and he had mental problems and blah, blah. Over 80 articles. I think it was like 83 articles in 3 days. It was wall-to-wall coverage from just those three papers in 3 days. And this was really bad.
Yeah.
Like the two, and they got a little coverage, but barely any, right? If Biden had done this, if Biden had done a quarter of this in 8-2 speeches, it would have been another 3 days of wall-to-wall coverage. And the press just kind of moved on, like, we don't really want to talk about this.
Yeah, and I got to say, I'm actually surprised. I am surprised by how notable it is now with Trump. Like, it really is noticeable. You know, I'm not going to deny that Biden, you know, loses, you know, he confuses things and he looks old and etc. I've talked about this openly. I do think Biden looks old and he isn't as sharp as he used to be. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying that Trump's, it's slightly different, right? I mean, he just kind of trails off. He talks about something and then just, it's like his brain shuts down.
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, he's going to have like a Mitch McConnell moment where he just stands there and freezes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so anyway, I think people, pay attention to it, people. Like, I want to see what readers think about whether, like, I don't want to, I'm not kind of making, we're not like making this up to say that, you know, look, it's just as bad. Trump is just as bad. It is just as bad. It seems in some ways worse. Yeah, it seems worse. But look, let's go to our idiot of the week. Justin, you were very excited about this. Well, I'm very excited about the idiot and our sunshine of the week.
I don't know if I'd be. I was really pissed off more about the idiot of the week. This was Elise Stefanik.
Yes.
She actually
good friend
said,
of the podcast. Good friend of the podcast. Yeah,
personal, close, personal friend of us. She said this out loud. Right, she was doing, you know, she was doing her Trump ass kissing. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? The answer is a resounding no. Now, today we're recording. This is Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Right? She said this like 2 days ago. So that would have been the beginning of March 2020. Now, if you go back 4 years ago, March 2020, that was the very beginning of America's first COVID panic. That is when people were just starting to understand something was really, really wrong. And they were starting, like, it happened in different parts of the country at different times. Like, it didn't hit here until March 13th. March 13th is when schools in Virginia closed down and they didn't open again until August of 2021. Okay. But that's when people started to panic. And they stripped the supermarkets bare. They freaked out, ran into the store, like what you see during right before blizzards, but like 100 times worse. Now, I knew about that. I knew it was coming in the middle of February. And we had gotten ready for it about three and a half weeks before it hit, because I fucking pay attention to politics, right? I read a ton of shit online, and I had been reading articles about how there was some kind of virus completely screwing up the supply chain. And that was really the first time I'd actually paid attention to the phrase supply chain. But China was getting pummeled, absolutely pummeled by this new virus. And it was screwing up manufacturing. It was shutting down factories all over the country. It was screwing up shipping. It was screwing up supply chains. And I was like, and I read that and I was like, okay, if it's shutting down that much of China that it's impacting international trade, it's going to get here. And when it gets here, it's going to spread like wildfire, and it's going to shut everything down, because that's what viruses do, right? They never stay in one place. They spread, and if they're spreading that fast and that large, like they're going that big, it's going to be everywhere. So I told Claudia and Debbie, we have to start doom prepping, which is a thing that we do regularly, right? We have to start doom prepping. This thing's going to get really bad. Whatever the hell it is, it's going to get really bad, and it's going to get here, and people are going to lose their fucking minds. And that's exactly what happened like 3+ weeks later, right? And they didn't really believe me, and I told them, yeah, I don't care. We're doing it anyway. And we pulled out extra money. We made sure the gas tanks were full, and lo and behold, right? So 4 years ago this week, things were getting really, really bad, and then things got really, really worse. So, I mean, how is it up by you, right? You live north of me by 45 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think back to that time. I mean, it was, I figured something was going on because I'd had two of my wife's relatives were in hospital just before a couple of months before the pandemic hit. The first time there was a section of the hospital that was it was in Maryland. It was completely cordoned off, and I remember thinking, "This is very strange. This is what's going on here." And
yeah, they don't do that for the flu.
No. Right, I thought that something was quite serious was going on potentially. That there was, I'd heard about something in China, and I remember thinking maybe it's that, maybe it's this novel virus that they found, and they're really freaked out about it. And then about 3 months after that, just as like, you know, it was hitting the news, I think my sister-in-law had to go to hospital, and that's when people were talking about it quite a lot. But I wasn't really concerned. I wasn't concerned at that point. I started to get to really freak out, I think a couple of weeks before before it hit. When I was hearing from friends in Europe, like specifically Spain, I've got quite a few friends in Spain, and they were texting me saying this is horrendous. Like, we're locked in, we can't move. Bodies piling up on the streets, and then obviously like it hit London after that. It hit the UK before it hit the US. So I was definitely probably ahead of. You know, because I've got so many contacts, so many ties.
Right, you're
Europe.
In touch with people, and you're in touch with people in other countries who were getting slammed around.
Yeah. So I did know something was going on. That's how I remember it playing out.
But you know, we were better off 4 years ago.
Yeah, wild, right? Absolutely, completely crazy that anyone would have the. But this is what Trump stooges want to pretend. They want to pretend that everything was great under Trump. It wasn't. It was terrible. It was awful.
Right? I mean, honestly, when they start saying this in like July and August, it's like that's when we were in the middle of lockdowns and people were just dying left and right, and they're still going to be saying this.
Yeah, the economy was like, I mean, people were freaking out like I've never seen anything like that, right? I'm not going to blame the pandemic on Trump, of course, right? But he didn't manage it well. He disbanded the pandemic. Obama had set up specifically an organization to deal with pandemics. He shut that
and
down.
And George W. Bush.
Yeah.
As much as I don't like him, as much as I despise him, you got to give him credit. He saw the idea. He understood the idea that a pandemic would be bad and took steps to prepare for one. And Obama also ran with it. And Trump still said, nah.
No. Yeah. Even the crazy neocons had some sense of civic duty, right? Some sense that the government was to be used to help people and do, you know, there were certain functions the government had to do. But Trump, he couldn't give a shit. He doesn't care. Not interested.
Yeah, and this is when we remind our audience once again that Jared Kushner and his, you know, Ivy League buddies got together and put together a national response plan for COVID. They had put one together, right? They were going to actually have a federal response to this. And then Jared Kushner and Donald Trump said, oh, wait a minute. This is hitting mostly blue states, right? Because that's where stuff like this really hits first, is the big cities, and big cities tend to be in blue states. So they saw that and they said, nah, don't do anything. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Because it's affecting blue states, and that'll make those states look bad, which will help Trump, in the election. And they just didn't do anything. They dumped the plan and let the states fend for themselves under this insane belief. Now, mind you, Trump is a moron, right? Now, I don't know how smart Jared Kushner is, but he's not Trump stupid.
No.
So I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, the man went to what? Harvard? Yale? I don't know. He went to a real college and he needed help getting in, but he's still not a moron. Trump's a moron. Jared Kushner's not an absolute moron. And yet they both said, let the blue states deal with it. It's their problem. As if COVID would get to the border of New York and say, well, I'm not going to spread past here. I don't want to infect a red state. Like, what? That's not how viruses work. They don't care.
I think Neil deGrasse Tyson had a funny line about that, where he talked about having, like, he basically talked about it as, I think it was something to do with masks, right? About some states having no mask policies and some states having mask policies. It was like having a designated no peeing section in the swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yes, you pee not, over there, we'll be fine on our side.
Yeah, it doesn't, good. Not how viruses work. Not. Yeah, but anyway, no, she's, I mean, but this is, again, like, this is, I feel like the, in Magaland, it's your duty to kind of rewrite, it's rewriting history. Pretend what happened didn't happen. That, like, it's like January 6th, that's been completely erased and people, you know what I mean? It didn't happen, wasn't that bad. It's all a deep state liberal conspiracy theory, or it was just a load of tourists, you know what I mean?
Yeah, meanwhile, you know, an extra, what, 300 to 400,000 people died because of this.
Yes.
So, but you know, no big deal.
Whatever, no big deal. I think
we were better off 4 years ago.
Okay, well, look, let's move on to something more positive.
Arizona. Sunshine story of the week.
Sunny Arizona. A sunny story from sunny Arizona. So this is a big deal. This is a very big deal. Kyrsten Sinema is out, right? This means Republicans have a big problem, right? This is, they need to
do.
Yeah. And Joe Manchin announcing he's not going to be running under the no labels tickets. So they're not going to be able to split the vote. Republicans need two seats to flip the Senate. They're going to take Manchin, right? Because West Virginia is deep MAGA land. I'm amazed that Manchin, they elected someone like Manchin, right? A Democrat. I mean, he's not really a Democrat.
He's been there for decades or whatever. Yeah. He's been there for years. So, you know, it's like incumbency, right? Incumbency is really, really strong.
Right. But so they, Arizona, Montana, and Ohio, that's where they have a shot at, right? But now Arizona is done. So Arizona is down to a three-way race with Gallego and Sinema. They've been splitting the left, and it's basically open for Carrie Lake, right? So now you have Gallego against Carrie Lake.
And Carrie Lake is not popular in Arizona.
Well, she's nuts.
Yep.
Right? So it's not going to be a three-way race. It's going to be a two-way race. And this means that Democrats have a much, much, much bigger chance in Arizona.
Yeah. No, Carrie Lake, if she was just like straight up MAGA crazy, she might have a chance, right? But she's MAGA crazy.
And she
also spit all over John McCain's grave.
Yes.
And John McCain's still really popular in Arizona.
Yeah,
with Republicans. So that was,
why
like,
would you do that? I mean, I know Trump did all that, but Trump, Carrie Lake is not Trump, and she doesn't have the sort of, she doesn't have the political capital to kind of to pull that kind of bullshit.
Exactly. So she tried walking it back, but that's not working. So she's, I don't, unless Gallego, this is Gallego's race to lose with Cinema walking, with Cinema dropping out. It's his to lose, and Carrie Lake is not in a good position. And this was the best shot Republicans had to flip the Senate, because they've got Montana and Ohio, but that's John Tester and Sherrod Sherritt. I can never pronounce his name correctly. Whatever. Mr. Brown, Senator Brown. They're both incumbents. And even though they're Democrats in red states, they're still relatively popular, right? Like, they've never been demonized by the right. So, you know, it'll be close races, but they're not even remotely guaranteed for Republicans. They're vulnerable, but they're not really vulnerable.
Right.
And if we keep all three of those seats, that means when Trump loses, we're definitely getting back to House, because they screwed that up. Those guys are definitely losing. So we're going to have the House. We could keep the Senate. And if we get the White House, that means we get all three branches again. Not all three branches. We get both chambers of the Congress, and we get the White House again. And that's another 2 years of Democrats getting to do the things they want to do. But
start
this time,
the Supreme Court. Start the Supreme Court.
That's right. This time, they won't have the two obstructionists. No Manchin, no Sinema. Which means if they want to get rid of the filibuster, they might actually be able to do it this time. And if that happens,
different territory.
Oh boy. Oh, the things they could do.
We are in new territory. Yes, absolutely. We'll leave it on that note, on that very positive note. But Cousin Cinema and Joe Manchin have been two of the most frustrating. I'm not going to say I hate them more than the MAGAs, but it's close.
Really, they stopped the Voting Rights Act. Yeah. They stopped. They stopped a lot of stuff that really needed to be done.
Yeah.
And if no one else steps into their shoes of being obstructionist, oh boy.
Right. Right. Well, look, we're going to head into the emergency meeting podcast now, where we're going to be talking about Trump's threat to pull funding for schools with the vaccine mandates. Mm-hmm. Anybody with children will know that this is one of the worst ideas ever, as if we hadn't gone through a pandemic. But anyway, look, we're going to be talking about this in the emergency meeting podcast. We have feelings about this, strong feelings about this. So please come and join us there. You can get yourself 50% off a Banter membership, and you get access to the emergency meeting podcast and access to all of our premium articles. We really appreciate your support. It genuinely does make all the difference in the world. We would not be here without our generous subscribers. So big thanks to all of you who have become Banter members and any potential future Banter members. Hopefully we will not disappoint you. So anyway, for the rest of you, we'll see you next week. Great. And let's head into the emergency meeting.
Adios.